A couple of weeks ago, as I was studying, God began to show me some things about how Satan operates that I hadn't really focused on too much. And there's a phrase that's been in my mind that has stayed with me. He says, Satan is the destroyer of souls. He's the destroyer of souls. And he's a destroyer of souls, even for those of us who are born again, who are on our way to heaven. He still can destroy our souls. And so I thought about that. I said, now how does he destroy our souls? And one of the ways he does that is because it's through our souls, okay, that we get the word into our spirit, okay? Reading the word, meditating the word, okay? Praying in the spirit, all those sort of things. He's a destroyer of souls. And the mental picture he gave me was, have you ever seen someone who has been hit by a car? And a person who's been hit by a car, everything comes to a stop. The image he gave me is Satan is the person who will hit you with a car and then run over you after he's hit you. And then he'll back up after he's run over you. He's merciless. He's merciless. Okay? And I said, Father, what do you want me to share tonight about this whole topic? And the thought kept coming back is Satan wants us to forget. He wants us to forget. Okay? And that is one of the ways he destroys our souls. He wants us to forget. Now the question becomes, what does he want us to forget? And it's the word. It's the word. Okay? And so tonight we're going to see a little bit about why it is so important that we do not forget the word. Okay? So turn to John chapter 10. Satan's ultimate goal, and it goes without saying, is to separate us from God for all eternity. That is his ultimate goal. But if he can't get to his ultimate goal, he wants to make us null and void. He wants to make us useless while we are here so that we don't do anything for God. That's what he wants. If he can't destroy us, if he can't separate us from God for all eternity, he wants us useless while we're here. Okay? John chapter 10. Satan is a thief and he's a robber. Okay? Look at verse 1. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Okay? The same is a thief and a robber. Now, notice that the first thing that Jesus tells us about this thief and robber, he doesn't come at you in a direct way. He's going to come at you in a way that you don't expect, okay? And so Satan, as a thief and a robber, his primary way of coming at us is through deception. And what does he deceive us? Into thinking that what we read in the Word is not what it really says. What we read in the Word is not what it really means, okay? There's several highways that lead to heaven. That's what he wants us to believe. You can choose either one of them. You can be a Methodist highway. You can be a Baptist highway. You can be a Presbyterian highway. Okay? You can be a Catholic highway. You can get to heaven. That's what he wants us to believe. Okay? So his primary mode of operation is deception. Now notice this word thief. A thief is an embezzler. He's an embezzler. What an embezzler does, he takes from you without you knowing it. Get the picture. He takes from you without you knowing it. Okay? And a robber. A robber is a person who plunders. He's a person who gets what he wants by stealing. And if that doesn't work, he will use violence. So think about Satan. He's a person who will steal from you without you knowing it. And if it gets to the point that you start to pick up on it, that, wait a minute, something else is at work here other than what it looks like, then he gets violent. He gets violent, okay? Now, let's back up for a minute. We're not talking about a physical violence here. Everything what we're talking about relates to what's going on in the realm of the spirit as it relates to your life. He gets violent. The attacks start coming, okay? Health issues start happening, okay? And we all know things like that happens. They start in the realm of the spirit before they manifest themselves where we live, okay? Financial issues start happening. Your car starts falling apart. Everything to get you away from thinking about the word. Let me give you a clue. And you can tell me whether or not you have been deceived. Now, don't tell me. Just think to yourself whether or not you have been deceived, okay? When something happens and the first thought that goes through your mind is not God-related, you're on the road to you're being deceived. If something happens and the first thing that does not go through your mind is confessing God's word over that situation but wondering something else, you've been embezzled. He's already started to take away the word out of your life. Okay? He's already started to take the word out of your life. Verse 2, but in contrast to the thief, in contrast to the robber, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He that they enter in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Okay? To him, verse 3, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now this word porter, it means under-shepherd. Means under-shepherd. And we know from 1 Peter that Jesus is the great shepherd. Okay? So our pastor would be an under-shepherd. Okay? Our pastor would be an under-shepherd. So, in verse 3, what does the under-shepherd do? He opens up the door for you to have interaction with your shepherd. How does he do that? It's through the speaking of the word that he gets you so you can interact and have a relationship and start to understand your shepherd. You see that? See, the porter opens that door. The under shepherd opens that door. He opens that door. At some point in this message, that's going to click. That's going to click. Okay? And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now this word hear his voice, it means not only do the sheep hear his voice, they obey his voice. Okay? Think about it this way. You're sheep. You're grazing. Okay? Your back is to the shepherd. You hear the shepherd's voice. The sheep hears the voice. Then the sheep turns and walks into the direction of that voice. Okay? That's what it means when a sheep hears his voice. It's not just I hear your voice, but you walk in the direction because you want to obey that voice. And see, Stephen can tell you how many times I said, Stephen, did you hear me when I've told him to do something? Yeah. And that's as far as it went. He heard me. And did nothing until I said it again and again and again. Okay? And see, sheep aren't like that. True sheep, when they hear the master's voice, they respond. They respond. Okay? Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, in other words, he's led them out of the he's led them out of the fenced in area, he goeth before them. See, the whole point of the under shepherd is to get you focused on who? The shepherd. So that you can follow who? the shepherd. You're not following the under-shepherd, you're following the shepherd. Okay? And so he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they what? They know his voice. They know his voice. Now, why do the sheep know the voice of the shepherd? They spend time with the shepherd. They spend time with the shepherd. They've heard the shepherd talking to them for days and weeks and months and years. And that shepherd's voice is so ingrained in their minds that any other voice automatically they dismiss. But they know the voice of their shepherd. And they follow their shepherd. Okay? All of this is leading somewhere, trust me. This is leading somewhere. Verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, don't you think that Satan knows that we will not follow a stranger's voice? Don't you think he knows that? Okay. So, if he knows we're not going to follow a stranger's voice, then he is going to have to work a way into an under-shepherd, a porter, okay, so that that porter can open the door to him so that now we can start to begin to hear his voice. You see this? You see what Jesus is saying? He's saying that the sheep, when they hear a strange voice, they won't follow. Okay? In contrast to following a voice that they know. But the only way a sheep is going to not follow a voice is that they don't know that voice. So if you have a porter who keeps continually opening the door, okay, through hearing things that the adversary wants him to hear, pretty soon the sheep are going to start hearing a different voice. And is that not what Pastor's been talking about in this series on the law? The sheep are starting to hear a different voice. Okay? Verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now listen to this. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers. Okay? But the sheep did not hear them. Why were they thieves and robbers? Because there is only one shepherd. That's why they were thieves and robbers. There is only one shepherd. Okay? Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, if any man enter in. Jesus is the door. If any man enters in, and that does not exclude women, okay, but if any man enters in, what does that tell you? You have a choice to make. You don't have to go through the door. You have a choice. He says, if any man enter in, through what? The door. What door? Through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by who? Me. Okay? You have to make that decision. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture. That word saved is sozo. It means safe and sound. Now, if you enter in the door where the shepherd is Jesus, you're going to be safe and sound. Safe and sound from what? Thieves and robbers. Thieves and robbers who do what? Teach you something other than what the shepherd is going to teach you. Okay? teach you? Something other than what the shepherd is going to teach you. This word pasture, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in what kind of pastures? Green pastures. In green pastures, sheep have everything they need. In green pastures. Okay? They have everything they need in green pastures. In Matthew, hold your place here. In Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 28. In Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you go back and read the context of this, what he's talking about is the rest he's going to give us, the yoke he's going to give us, is not the same yoke as the law. The law was a burden. Okay? The law was a burden. Okay? Remember when Peter stood up in Acts and said that in reference to the Gentiles, how are we expecting the Gentiles to keep something that we couldn't even keep, that was a burden to us? Okay? That was a burden to us. Jesus is saying that his yoke is not a burden. It's not a burden. Okay? Going back to John 10:10. We're going to get to forgetfulness. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more than abundantly. So the question then is, what does the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy? Life. You see that? The thief wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life, okay, and it has a lot of meaning in that. Jesus said, but I came to give you life, okay? What life is he talking about? Spiritual life, new nature. This is prophecy, prophetic, new nature, born again. That's what he's talking about. But the thief wants to keep you in your sin nature. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for you. Now, this word steal means to invade, seize, and carry away. Does that sound like something that would happen to you without doing some damage to you? No. No. Because, see, if you have to seize it, then you're taking it by force. Okay? If you have to invade something, you're not doing it. You're not doing it because the other person is allowing it to happen. You are taking something. This word kill means to sacrifice and slaughter. This word destroy means to perish, eternal separation from God. What it is, and we're going to see this, and we get into Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13 a little bit, that what he steals from us is the word. And when he steals the word from us, it slaughters any kind of benefit that the word can have in our lives. And if it can slaughter the word in our lives, make it none effect, then ultimately, if we stay on that road, perish is the next step, to destroy what we had. Okay? That's what he wants to do. Satan wants to deceive us when it comes to God's word operating in our lives. Let's look at Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4, and these are scriptures that you're very familiar with, but I want to touch on them a little bit. Mark chapter 4, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. The sower soweth the word. And he's already talked about, the different soil that the seed has been thrown on. I'm skipping all that and just getting to the explanation of the parable. He says, the sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. He cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. When this message is over, Satan is going to try to come immediately to take the word that has been sown tonight. He does it. He tries to do it after every Sunday morning service, after every Sunday p.m. service. He tries to steal the word. Okay? He tries to steal the word. But notice it says he comes immediately. I would dare say he's probably coming at you now, trying to steal the word. Okay? Look in Luke chapter 8. The same passage. In Luke chapter 8, look in verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Notice Luke adds a little different from what we read in Mark. They hear it. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That word saved means to benefit from it. Okay? To benefit from what the word has to offer. That's what he's talking about. And then in Matthew chapter 11, chapter 13, I'm sorry, in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Now, Matthew just added one other thing, the word of the kingdom. Okay? And understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Okay? So, as you're receiving the word, okay, and the word is going out, Matthew says Satan catches the word before it settles in your heart. Okay? It's like he's running. The word is coming to Cindy. Put out the glove to catch the word so it won't get where the word needs to go. And it's for each one of you. He tries to catch the word before it gets in your heart. Okay? You know what's so important about this message tonight? Is we know that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing God's word. And not just hearing any of God's word, but it has to be God's word that lines up with everything else in God's word. And so if he can keep you from getting God's word sown in your heart, he can keep you faithless. He can keep you faithless. Oh, you may think you have faith. You may tell people you have faith, but when you look at your life, it's going to be a life of faithlessness because the word has not been sown in your heart. It hadn't gotten any farther than here. It's nothing but head knowledge. It's nothing but mental ascension. You agree with it. It makes sense to you, but it's not here. And your life is going to reflect that. Okay? Satan tries, and he would, to keep us in the land of forgetfulness. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Okay? When the word expressly is used, it says the Spirit is very clear about this. The Spirit is very clear about this. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Some shall depart from the faith. Okay? Now, this word shall depart means they remove themselves. They walk away. They walk away. Okay? I'm not even going to get into it. Okay? About once saved, always saved. I'm not even going to get into it. Okay? Pastor has a tape series back there. Is my eternity secure? It says, some shall depart from the faith. They shall remove themselves. They shall walk away. Okay? Now, why would they walk away? because they are giving heed to seducing spirits. They were walking with faith, and then they started hearing seducing spirits. They didn't know they were seducing spirits. Okay? They thought they were people who knew God's word and were sharing God's word with them and telling them how to draw near unto God, but they were hearing seducing spirits. And they slowly, remember, this is faith going this way. They slowly start to turn because it sounded good. It made sense to them. And that's a big one right there. It made sense to them. And see, faith says it's not what you see, it's not what you hear, it's what God's word says. You don't have to, it doesn't have to make sense to you. You either believe it or you don't. Remember, there was a saying about God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Take the I believe it out. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. So, you've turned and walked away from faith because of seducing spirits. Because you've given heed. You start listening to someone else other than your shepherd. Okay? You start listening to someone else other than your shepherd. So you've given heed. Now, look at this. You've given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. These seducing spirits are wandering, roving spirits of deceit. They are wandering, roving spirits of deceit. That tells me something. It tells me they are actively out looking for voices who will speak what they want them to say. They are looking for people that they can talk through. Because these doctrines of devils, these are instructions or teachings that were developed by demons. That's what that means, doctrines of devils. But of course, it's not going to sound like a doctrine of devil. It's not going to sound like that. It's going to be pleasing to the ears. It's going to tickle your senses. It's going to sound, yeah, that makes sense to me. When anyone says that makes sense to me when it comes to the word, my ears perk up. Okay? Because, see, it doesn't have to make sense to you for it to be true. It has nothing to do with it making sense to you for it to be true. But see, when you are listening to doctrines promoted by devils through folks who have a voice, i.e. a Barry Johnson, okay? Then if you don't do Acts 17:11, be like the Bereans, who when they heard the word, they went back to study the scriptures to see if what they were being taught was true, then you're going to turn from faith and you're going to give heed to those seducing spirits who are using the voice, the mouthpieces of the Barry Johnsons. You see that? Satan is good at what he does. Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, remember I talked about Satan wants us to be camped out in the land of forgetfulness. When you read in the Old Testament, and you'll see it in the New Testament too, but the Old Testament was just where I wanted to go in talking about this, you will see one of the things that God talked to the children of Israel over and over and over again was to take heed to what he was telling them and not to forget what he was telling them. You know, through Moses, of course. That's a running theme throughout Deuteronomy. Okay? In chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Why? Lest thou do what? Forget." Forget what? "The things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from my heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons. Okay? unless they depart thy heart all the days of thy life. Why? Because they didn't take heed. They didn't keep their soul. They didn't guard their soul. They didn't hold on to their souls, their minds, and forget what God has said. You see that? He says, don't forget. Don't forget. Look at verse 23. This is Moses. He's telling the people of Israel that I'm not going to have a chance to go to the promised land with you. And he says, verse 22, but I must die in this land. I must not go over the Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess the good land. Okay? You're going to go over. You're going to possess the land. Okay? You're going to get born again. Okay? You're going to possess the land. Okay? You're going to be Christians. You're going to be saved by Christ. You're going to possess. And that's not what Moses is saying. I'm just bringing it up to where we are. Okay? You're going to be born again. Verse 23. Take heed. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye do what? Forget the covenant of the Lord your God. Unless you forget everything that comes with being born again, a part of your inheritance. Take heed unless you forget. Okay? Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you graven images or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God has forbidden thee. So you see how God is reminding the people, you have to make a conscious effort not to forget. Okay? Chapter 6. And I just picked out four or five of them. There are lots more. Okay, but I figure this will be enough to make the point. Verse 12. Oh, let's back up on this one. Let's back up to verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Where shall they be? In thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. You're talking about everything that God has done for you. All the time is what he's saying to us. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Do you see this? He's given us things that we did not. What did Jesus say? My yoke is not heavy. Come ye who've been heavy labors and rest. You see this? Okay. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou dig not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, things are going well, everything is hunky-dory, okay, then beware. It's the same word as take heed in chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 23. Beware lest thou do what? Forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see that? Don't forget the Lord your God. Chapter 8, verse 11. This is Moses still talking. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good which he hath given thee. Beware, take heed, that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. The whole point of these verses is you don't forget the word. That's what he's saying. You don't forget the word. Look in Psalm 103. Psalm 103, pastor has covered that in great detail. I just want to look at two verses. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do what? Forget not all his benefits. The thing that always made me smile about this verse, it doesn't say remember all his benefits. It just says don't forget all of them. Okay, don't forget all his benefits. 119. In 119 and in verse 16, David says, I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not what? Forget thy word. Forget thy word. But see, if you don't have the first part right, it's going to be hard to do the second part. What did David say? I delight in thy word. I will not forget. I delight in thy statutes. I will not forget thy words. One more in Psalm 93. David says, I will never forget thy precepts. Now listen to the second part, folks. For with them thou hast quickened me. Thou hast given me life. You see that? The word is what gives him life. And we're going to see this in Proverbs chapter 3. And that's why I listed the things that I did in Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Why, Father, do I want to not forget your law? Why, Father, do I want my heart to keep your commandments? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Do you see this? And you wonder why Satan wants you to forget God's word. He does not want it to come up here anymore. He does not want to rise out of your spirit and come to your mind. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add unto thee. My son, verse 1, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, talking about wisdom, which is prophecy about the Holy Spirit, which is giving us the word, okay? In her right hand, and what's in her left hand? Riches and honor, okay? But see, you're not going to remember about wisdom if you don't have my son, forget not my law. And keep in thine heart my commandments. Okay? My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold of her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. My son, verse 1, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 22. So shall thy life, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Do you see that? There are 5 verses in this chapter that talk about life that comes from God's word. Life. Health. That comes from God's word. And is there any reason why Satan wants you to forget it? Yes, he wants you to forget it. He wants you to forget it because he doesn't want you to have the life, the health that comes from God's word. Okay? Now, Genesis chapter 3. Verse 13. After Adam and Eve have sinned and God confronts them, Adam blames Eve. Eve says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Okay? Remember, Satan, the Greek word for him is diabolos, and it's like water that drips constantly. Okay? Constantly dripping until he wears you down and gets you to do what he wants you to do. Okay? This word beguiled, it means to lead astray. Okay? So, if you're walking in the direction of faith and you have been beguiled, you have been led astray from faith. That's faith. We're going this way. Okay? I like what Young says, the Young Literal Translation. It says, the serpent has caused me to forget. To forget what? What you told us not to do. And see, think about it, people. That's what he does. He works on you. He works on you. He works on you and wears you down till you forget about what God's word says. You forget about it. You know, that's why it's so important to have a family of believers, okay? When you have people who are sick, when you are sick, and I have been there, I would love to say that I'm having God's word going through my brain, but I'm not. I can remember when I hurt my back, the only thing that I could think about was the pain I was in. And I had to have someone remind me about the word. The word was read to me because there was no way Bear was going to focus on reading God's word when his back is killing him. I mean, I could not move. So I had to have someone else operating in faith, speaking the word for me. And see, that's why it's so important to have each other. Because when you can't speak words of faith, you need someone speaking it for you to remind you that God's word is true, that what God says will come to pass. Even though you're hurting, you can't see it, it will come to pass. That's why you all are so important to each other, to build each other up, to build us up when there are times it seems like we're just not remembering what God says about certain things. Okay? We're winding down. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 3. Chapter 11, verse 3. Well, verse 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly. And indeed, bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. With godly jealousy. Notice that it's godly jealousy. Jealousy based on God's word. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, do you see that? Okay? He's saying that lest any means, by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. And then what does he say in the next verse? For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. So let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. What did Satan beguile Eve of? God's word. Do you see that? God's word. He caused her to forget God's word. Or if you receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye had not accepted, ye bear them well. You bear with them, okay? So Satan wants to make us forget what God's word says. He wants us to forget it. And he does this by immediately coming and taking the word that is sown in our lives, okay? Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. So, how do we stay away from the land of forgetfulness? In Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive the word. See, not only do they hear it, they receive it. They accept it as being true. Okay? They bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Luke chapter 8. Notice they hear the word and they receive it. In Luke chapter 8, in verse 15, it says, But that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, they keep it, they grab it, they hold on to it, they don't let it go, okay? They bring forth fruit with what? Patience. Patience. So you're holding on to that word for a while. You're holding on to the word for a while. Matthew chapter 13 and in verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understandeth it, and bear fruit. Some 100, some 60, and some 30. Some 100, some 60, and some 30. So the good ground, the way to avoid forgetfulness is to hear and obey the word, to receive it, to accept it, to delight in it, to understand it, to put it together. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. And then keep a firm possession of the word. Keep a firm possession of the word. That way, Satan will not be able to cause you to forget it. He won't be able to do that. I can remember when Doris, she was at work. This is 2008, 2006, was it, Stephen? When she hurt her back. I think it was 2006. And so she had to go to Kettering Hospital, and she was there for 4 weeks. And I would go visit her every day. She was in so much pain. And she would say, Barry, I need for you to read the word to me. I need for you to read the word to me. And so I would read scripture to her every single day. Words on healing, okay? Word that's talked about protecting your mind against thoughts that are against God's word. Okay, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, those type of things. And you know what was so neat about that? She had a doctor who came to see her. And this doctor, and I'm glad I have never seen this man again, he told her that you will never walk well again. A doctor told her that. And we agreed that it doesn't matter what that doctor said, we're going to continue to read and confess the word. It's been 2 years. Dar still has some pain, but if you will look at her, you cannot tell that she's not walking like a normal person. Even though that doctor told her she would never walk normally again. Okay? So, the word in this instance, in this example, gave life back to that part of the area where Doris had no life. Because the word was spoken to her. And that's what the word does. The word gives life in those areas of your life that are dead or that are losing life by speaking God's word. And see, when you speak God's word, and if you're doing it, like I said in Deuteronomy, when you get up in the morning, when you talk, when you're walking by the wayside with your children, when you're sitting down to eat, before you go to bed at night, you're not going to forget the word. It is not going to happen. And see, when that happens, then Satan has to up the attack. And that's where when you read in Mark chapter 4, Matthew 13, and Luke 11 about the cares of this world, okay, being the things then that they're trying to pull you off the word, okay? So let me encourage you tonight. Don't let Satan drag you, lull you, deceive you, lead you astray into the land of forgetfulness. Because when you're not in the land of forgetfulness, that's when he does not like you the most. He doesn't like you anyway, but he likes you more when you're in the land of forgetfulness, because when you're not in that land, then you're fighting against him. Amen. Everybody stand.